Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 11. Nehemiah, chapter 11. John F. Kennedy said, "We will neglect our cities to our peril, for in neglecting them, we neglect the nation," unquote. Nehemiah chapter 11, we begin reading at verse 1. "And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah dwelt everyone in his possession in their cities, to wit Israel, the priests and the Levites and the Nethinims and the children of Solomon's servants." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the direction that the Spirit gives. And Lord, now as we come together to look into your holy word, we thank you for men like Nehemiah, for men and women who have stayed by the stuff, who have been willing to serve you faithfully. And we ask, Lord, this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. It would seem that the city of Jerusalem could not contain all those that wanted to live there. So they cast lots, or maybe a lottery system, to see who would be allowed to live within the walls of the city. 1 out of 10 families would be allowed to move within the city walls. When the Baptist Tribune was still being published in magazine form, they had a regular article called The Urban Current. A pastor, Charles Lyons, who lived in the Chicago environs, wrote it. He was regularly encouraging fellow pastors to support church plants within America's biggest cities, like Boston, New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis. Well, you get the idea. The large cities need churches. Churches that proclaim the word of God and that are not entertainment centers. I would imagine that most of you could name the top 5 population-wise cities in the state of Michigan. If given a couple of moments, you could probably figure it out. And Detroit is obviously number 1. According to the 2010 census, Detroit had 670,031 people. Of note, 1950, Detroit's population was 1,849,568, almost 3 times what it is today. The next 4 cities in population in Michigan only equal 587,000 people. Now, who's number 2? Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids has over 200,000 people. Who's number 3? Warren. Warren has 133,943 as of the 2010 census. Who's number 4? You're here. Sterling Heights. 132,438 people as of the 2010 census. You didn't know that? Number 5, Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor has 119,980. I'll do number 6 just for Rudy's sake. Lansing. It had to be there somewhere. Shelby Township is number 15. 80,000 plus. Utica is 348. 348. But cities are important. And in Jerusalem, it was the major city. They had just built the wall. If there was going to be an attack on the nation of Israel, they would attack what city? Jerusalem. So to want to live in Jerusalem was, what shall we say, perilous to your health maybe. And yet there were those who wanted to live there. Now you all remember the Cold War. And back in the 60s, there were Nike sites. That had nothing to do with tennis shoes. It had to do with rockets that were in the ground. And some of them were over here by the park at 22 Mile Road. And they had Nike sites over there. And I just lived down the road from it back then. My dad said it was a dangerous place to live because we were just down the road. But we find that if there was a war that was a major war, Detroit would be an area that they would attack because of all the industry that it could have very quickly. But in Nehemiah 11 and 12, we find those that dwelt in Jerusalem and the neighboring cities, as well as the priests and Levites. Now, we're not going to read all these different names because, well, to be quite honest, we don't know any of them. But there were men and women who were in that point in time, just like you and me. Oh, they may not have had running water in their house. Aren't you glad for running water? And aren't you glad that on a day like today, we don't have to turn on the heat? But if we needed the heat, we could turn it on. Should we turn on the air conditioning? No, I got the fan running up here for me because it's warmer up here on the platform than it is out there. But we find as one reads the book of Nehemiah, we find lists of names that were involved in the different projects. In chapter 3, he told us who the people were that worked on the wall and what part of the wall they repaired. Now, let's be honest about it. Names are important to the people that know them. A number of years ago, we took a group of people to Connecticut to help Brother Sharp in passing out papers. And some of you remember going over there. And then one day we went into the city of New York. That's the only time I've ever been in New York City. And Pastor Mel took us to a park where there were some memorials, where there were big slabs of marble with names on it from men that had fought in previous wars. Now, for most of us, these names would mean nothing. But to someone who lives in New York, who may have had family members that fought in the war, going over there would be important. The name is listed. Now, maybe you've been to Washington, D.C., and you've been to the Vietnam Memorial, and that black rock and the wall there with all the names of those who died in Vietnam. And when my wife and I went there, we looked up the names from people from our high school who had gone and fought in Vietnam and had died in that war. Names listed someplace can be very important. In chapter 7, we find listed the names of the people who returned with Zerubbabel. Paul has been reading to us from the book of Ezra and those who came because they wanted to return to Israel and to build the city and to build what? The temple. In chapter 8, we have recorded the names of the leaders involved in the Bible conference. And you may remember a few weeks ago when we went through that and talking about that Bible conference. And chapter 10 contains the names of 84 men who set their seals to the dedication covenant and how they swore that they would be faithful to their Lord. And, you know, that's important that if we're going to swear to the Lord that we take it to heart to mean it. Because He believes you're going to do it. You've made that commitment. Warren Wiersbe comments, in listing these names, Nehemiah was giving evidence of his sincere appreciation of each individual who assisted in the work, unquote. My wife today went over to Brighton to spend some time with three of Brian's children, and she was showing them things about butterflies. Now, as you know, Donna has become a butterfly enthusiast, expert, and she was giving a lesson. And part of the lesson was showing them her video that she took while she was in Mexico. And she was showing them that, and they were looking at what she had done on that trip. Now, when you go away and you come back and you want to show pictures, is everybody excited about it? Maybe for the first six or seven. But when you get to picture 289, are they still excited about it? But you're excited about it. You're glad you went, and you're glad you can tell others. See, when you had a part of something, you are excited. You remember the first time we went to Honduras with a group from the church, and afterwards we put pictures on the wall outside, and well, not outside, but in the hallway, and people stopped and read, but they meant more to me than to some people who didn't go. But as you read these names, if you had been one of those or the family members of one of those, you'd be excited. It also reminds us that our Father sees and records what His children do as they serve Him. Now, do you ever ponder what it's going to be like to stand before the Lord? And as He begins to give a report about your works and what you have done for the cause of Christ, do you think that some people are going to stand there for a long time because they've done a lot for the cause of Christ? Sure. And unfortunately, there are going to be some who are going to walk up there and the Lord's going to call their name and say, I'm glad you're here. Next. Because they haven't done much for the cause of Christ. Even if others don't recognize or appreciate your ministry, you can be sure that God knows all about it and will reward you accordingly. Deborah Prince Muehlhoff, March 13th, 1960, you became a member of the Covenant Baptist Church. Diane Prince Belay, the same day, March 13th, 1960, you became a member of the Covenant Baptist Church. You're two of the oldest members of the church in the years of being here. Judy Boshears Fleming, August the 2nd, 1964. Mary Kokenauer and her husband joined the church in September of 1966. Donna Derringe Madonna, September 24th, 1967, you became a member of the Covenant Baptist Church. Bob Muehlhoff became a member of this church in April of 1975. Dr. Mark Fleming, May of 1979. Paul and Cheryl Wutke, June of 1984. Paul, that's quite a few years ago. A lot of water under the bridge. Janice Allen, May 26, 1985, became a member of the Covenant Baptist Church. Andrea Muehlhoff Forsyth, June 18, 1989. I didn't know you were that old. 1989. Yes. I won't be reading all of them, but Mary Ruth, October the 3rd, 2004. Yes. Rudy Ferris, March 16th, 2008. That's when you became a member of our church. Yes. Cindy Jantz, April 10th, 2011. Okay. Reverend Stephen and Lauren Lance, September 23rd, 2013. It's almost 7 years. Yes, et cetera, et cetera. In Nehemiah 11, verse 17, Nehemiah 11, 17. And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the Thanksgiving in prayer. You know, Thanksgiving is in November. But does that mean we can only give thanks in November? We are to give thanks when? Daily. Daily. Because if anybody has thanks to give, it's those who were born again. Because we realize what we have been given, where we were headed, and what lies ahead for us. And so we find that he was the principal to begin the Thanksgiving in prayer. Don't ever be shy about giving thanks. Don't ever be shy. The fact is we need to remember what the Lord has done for us. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 46, if you would, please. Nehemiah 12, verse 46. And in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. What is one of the reasons that we should sing? To give glory to the Lord? Are we to make a joyful noise unto the Lord? We are to do this because we are thankful for what he has done. He didn't have to. Did he die for the angels? A third of the angels will spend eternity in hell. They have no chance of redemption. Once they made that choice to follow Lucifer, that was it. There was no going back. How many mistakes have you made since you were saved? Two? Seven? 5,641? Yeah? Aren't you glad that we can still praise our Lord and Savior and he still accepts it? He doesn't say, you know, buddy, you had your chance. Out the door you go. No. We are so glad that we can give thanks and he accepts it. And the fact of the matter is, he likes it when we praise him. Thank God for those that have gone before here at the Covenant Baptist Church. Men and women that gave so much so that this church could be here today. Men and women that helped put this building together. That through the years have painted the walls and carpeted the floor and did different things. Thank God for those who gave of their money many times sacrificially so that this church could be here. This church had two bond programs and praise God, they're all paid for. Do you remember the Sunday when they were burning the mortgage and Brother Lee dropped the burning mortgage on the carpet? Yes, I have never forgotten that. We should have gotten a picture of that. Yes, but praise God for those who gave so this building is debt free. We're glad. We're glad. Thank God for those who are faithfully serving now. Serving now. Because there is a future, correct? But we do not know how much longer we have here on planet Earth. Someone was asking me the other day how my dad was doing, and I was trying to tell them. I said, well, the dementia is getting worse. But physically, he could live another 5, 6, 7 years. But thank God for those that went before, for those who are faithfully serving now, and thank God for those who are still to come. Those who are still to become part of the Covenant Baptist Church. Thank God. Do you know the doxology? How many of you could sing it right now? You know the doxology. Okay. We're going to sing it Sunday morning, right? It's in there. But we're going to sing it tonight. Can I start it for you? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly
host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love and mercy, as we've already said. But Lord, thank you for your willingness to use us. Help us, Lord, to be worthy. And help us, Lord, in our daily walk to serve you faithfully. Give us strength and encouragement, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.